is important. It's kind of good that you brought that up. We didn't even plan this out. But it's like, I heard, bink, prayer. All right. But that's how we begin that relationship with God. We all pray. We've all talked to him in some way, in some measure. And that's what prayer is about. And so prayer is not some hocus-pocus, hard to understand, a certain phraseology, certain things you got to pray, and here's set prayers, and this is what you need to pray, and all that. I mean, those are good, and those are okay, and I've got one here that I want to hand out. It must be in my book. For the National Day of Prayer, and it's kind of like a prayer that's going to be prayed on Thursday around the nation, and it just kind of puts us all in one accord, and you don't have to come to a group setting. I'm sad to say we don't have a group setting that I looked at anywhere in Janesville for the National Day of Prayer on Thursday, but we can, even like on Wednesday night, we have Bible study and we have prayer before Bible study. We'll probably take that sheet and pray it or read it there. It's wonderful to have the synergy of all of a group of people praying in one accord, you know. But hopefully, I believe, as God hears a prayer, maybe starting on Wednesday to Thursday, and you got churches out there and groups and having prayer breakfasts on Thursday around the nation, even around the state in certain areas, having prayer breakfasts and such that they'll be praying the same prayer. But we find that prayer is important. Have you prayed today? Ask a child before they have a test at school. I bet everybody on the campus of college just about, you know, one time or another has prayed when a final has come or an exam has come. They may be praying to a higher power, you know. Pardon? Packer games too? Well, now you're getting difficult there. But we find that people will pray. We don't know at times it's prayer because, to me, prayer is just talking to God. I pray by saying, hey, God, it's a beautiful day. Thank you for it. That's a prayer, you know. What did I pray? I thanked him. I recognized something that he has done and has done from the very beginning, his creation, but I've taken note of it today and every day, hopefully, that I realize that, Lord, you are awesome and powerful and mighty, and you're so full of love and graciousness. And so today what we want to do is look in the areas of prayer and begin to look at that as far as prayer is nothing but what? Communicating with who? God. And as we begin to look at communicating to God, we come to find out that it's a fellowship, that it's a relationship, and that it's an intimacy with who? God. So as we begin to share and talk and have our times with God, we should be able to become, you know, pretty close to him, right, as he is close to us. And so as we look at this, prayer is having a conversation with God. Now remember, as we talk, what's the best part of a conversation? Is it the one that always keeps talking? Or we have to remember that we need to listen. And so listening is a wonderful part of the other part of prayer, that we've got to listen to the things that God is telling us or has told us. We know by the scriptures and the things that's in the Word already that God has shared tremendously with us. His direction, his thoughts, his desires, what he is wanting, and the things that we should be using to control, not control, but to guide our steps across this path that we're on. So God has given us direction and thoughts already. And I think the best part of the prayer is sometimes the meditation and doing what? Have you ever just sat quietly before God? Usually, I find that usually when it's to the point where I'm out of words, I'm out of direction, you know. Even with God's direction in his word, I find at times that I'm going, Lord, I need direction. Well, it's in his word. Well, I know it's in his word, but, you know, for this situation, for that, or whatever we're going into, or for the church, or for my home, or for my own self, or whatever the case might be. And I think sometimes it's because we get into the busyness of this world that we get so much going on that we really don't hear from God. Because the things of this world are constantly bombarding us. Or is it just me? It's just me. Okay. Well, you guys are great, you know. You're right on with God. That's good. But remember in our conversations that we've got to listen. You know, if I were to, and I've blessed many times to be able to go pretty well weekly with Lou and sit for about an hour or so, an hour and 20 minutes maybe, and have coffee or something like that. And we just talk and listen and talk and listen. But how wonderful it is sometimes just to listen to the other person, especially if you ask them a question or something like that. Well, sit back and listen to what they have to say, you know. Well, as we talk to God and we've asked him certain things, let's step back a little bit and let's let God talk to us by how. How is God speaking to us today? By that of the Holy Spirit. Connecting to your spirit. So let's just sit and listen from God as far as the situation. So conversation, remember, is also listening. The vast majority of prayer is simply visiting with God. Do you feel that you've got a pretty open door to God? Do you feel like you can just, at the drop of a hat, or whatever the case might be, that you can come to God wherever you're at and have conversation with him? Or do you feel like you've got to have, you know, someone go before you and prepare the way? Well, guess what? Somebody's already come before you and they've already prepared the way. Jesus. We just had Easter this last Sunday back, I think, if it's not been too far back. But we've had Easter and the resurrection, and Christ is there. Jesus is there at the right hand of God interceding for us. So we've already there's been a way made for us to come to God. That where we can come to God on our own through Jesus, and the things that we ask through Jesus. And so Jesus is right there, and we'll find that in some of the word that we might get into. There are many teachings and focuses of our prayer life. Wait, let me go back here. I dropped a line here all of a sudden. Here we go. There are many teachings out regarding prayer. Many of them center on how to request and how to receive something from God. Now, God does want to give us things. We already know that he gave us Jesus, but even more than that, he wants to be a blessing God. He wants to fulfill your needs. He wants to take care of you because he what? He loves you. And as he loves us, loves you, I think in turn we need to turn that back to him and say, Lord, I love you. You know, it's good to hear that. Don't you like it when somebody says, hey, I love you. You know, I like you. I appreciate you. That does something to us, doesn't it? So there are many teachings out there about prayer, and they center on how to request and how to receive things from God. Most of it is about getting your prayers answered. It is appropriate to ask for your needs, because look at John 16:24. In John 16:24, so let's go to John 16:24. And it talks about here, Jesus, it's in the red, in 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be what? Full. So it's saying, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Now we go back to, it's the heading at verse 16 talks about sorrow will turn to joy. And going through some areas with his disciples. But at the very end, before it goes into verse 25, he's talking about, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Now we can look at that, and it talks about, and we're going to go back to Matthew in just a minute, but when it says that your joy may be full. Joy being full. We need our joy being full. The New Living Translation says abundant joy. A New Century version of the Bible would say this, the fullest possible joy. Wow. I like that. The fullest possible joy. Remember, this is saying, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Amplified would put that your joy is complete. So the things that we visit and talk and do with God, God is a God of, I read here, of abundance. He's a God of the fullest possibility. He's a God of completeness. And this is just one area talking about joy in that area, as some of these versions have broken that word down as far as giving us an insight as to what is being said here. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now we find that Back in Matthew, I'm going to sideline and go back that way to Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:7, it's here again, Jesus, it's in the red, he's talking. Begins in 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Talks about the plank in the eye. You know, don't worry about the others, you need to worry about yourself. We shared a little bit, and you think about that in Sunday school, talking about confessions and things and how we like to confess, but sometimes we want to confess the other person how bad they are compared to us. But what about that plank in your eye? You got to need and take care of yourself and worry only about yourself. And then it talks on down to 7 where it says, ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And then it goes on in 8, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it'll be opened. Now we find in this area here of the word ask, ask would be the describing a supplant making request of someone in a higher position. Well, we're asking who? We're asking God, and we're going through Jesus, says, ask in my name. So we're making a request to someone in a higher position, such as an individual asking something from a subject from like that of a king. How about like that of a child asking something from a parent? I mean, you can break this down to understand the asking part. When a child comes to the parent and asks, they're asking the parent because why? The parent is the authority level, the authority of that house or of that situation. And so they're coming to ask of the parent. It could be like that of a beggar, you know, coming to a person of substance to help and to provide something. The word denotes insistent asking without qualms, not commanding God, but solidly presenting a requisition whose item he longs to distribute. So that's part of that ask. And we talk about you have not because you ask not, and it talks about asking him. And so, how else are you going to talk to God? How are you going to ask God if you don't go to him in what? Prayer. And that's what we've coined it, prayer, conversation, talking, and visiting with God. But we need to make sure that this is just a small amount of our prayer life. I don't want this to be just a Sunday of to where, well, we're just going to keep, you know, hammering God and calling on God to fulfill my need and to get me what I want. No, it's much more important than that. It's more important that I build and develop a relationship with him and that I let him know how much I appreciate him by worship, by praise. But we need to make sure that this is just a small part of our prayer life. It is our primary focus, though. If this becomes our primary focus, this may be a clue as to why your prayers are not being answered. If we get into that realm of, I need this, I need that, help me do this, provide this, do this, after a while it gets old, doesn't it? After a while it's like, if we were God, wouldn't you kind of look at that situation and go, well, gee, don't you recognize me for anything else that's taking place? Or aren't you happy about something? Haven't I done something for you that you can be thankful of and worship me and praise me? But we get a lot of times that we don't be careful where we just get into just nothing but just asking and asking and asking. Now, there's scriptures that say, you know, ask and keep asking and things of that nature. You got to read it to where it's at and kind of take what's being said there. But we've got to take it into what it's being focused around. If we can turn our primary focus of our prayer life in time of loving, worshiping, and fellowshipping with God, we would soon discover that we may not have so many needs. I believe that as we pray and pray for the nation and pray for our country and pray for the society around us, pray for our community, pray for things around us in other churches, in the schools, and just the praying for jobs for the people in our community, pray for housing for those that are looking for housing, whatever the case might be, if we just take the focus off of our own needs and pray for others and let God begin to help those situations out there, most of us already know that our home life or our situation will generally already be taken care of by God. And pretty soon you look around and you'll go, my gosh, well, I've been praying about this situation for this person. This over here that I've been kind of dealing with, it's worked its way out. Powerful, powerful. Check out Matthew 6:25. In Matthew 6:25, we look at this about not to worry. It comes out of off the model prayer, fasting, being seen by God, laying up our treasures in heaven, talking about the lamp of the body. Then we get into this in 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do not worry. We find that word could mean being distracted. We can find that word also being preoccupied, anxiety, stress, pressure. And Jesus, in his example here, as he's sharing, is that therefore I say, do not stress out in your life. Do not worry. Do not be preoccupied with these things. Don't have anxiety. Don't feel the pressure. And how many out there today feel pressure? I do. Off and on, all the time, sometimes, maybe, I don't know. But generally throughout the week, there's times that I can begin to feel that pressure. Because I begin to worry, I have that anxiety, I have that preoccupation with a situation that I need an answer to, I need help with, I need something fulfilled. But if I read the word here and it says, you know, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink and things, I've got to realize that God has my needs covered. He knows better than I what I need. How about you? Do you believe that he knows more about what you need than yourself? Well, he does. If you will find that when you are passionately in love with God, he will take care of you as only he can. And how does he do it? In most instances, he does it supernaturally. You know, there's no... We sometimes don't understand it, how it came about, how it took place. And that's how God works, supernaturally through other things and other people and other situations to fulfill the need that you have in your life. You know, I have not, in my years of life here, I've not seen money fall out of heaven, have you? You know, I've not seen, you know, open up my door and just see things just falling out of the trees like leaves, you know, in the fall, where it's just money coming from heaven. But I believe I've had answers to prayer and things met in my home life and financial things that I've had by that of God, supernaturally, working through other people, working through other situations or the things that are common to man in this sphere that we're living in. We don't know how it works. We don't know how it happens, but we just know that it happens. And over the things that God has done here, I've shared with other pastors at times, and I still, it's in the back of my mind and sometimes maybe in the forefront of my mind of seeing what God has done even within this locale here, even with things that have been accomplished or how God has blessed this small congregation with the finances and the things to continue to fulfill things and to have needs met and to even go over and beyond things. It's just amazing. But remember a year or so back when my firm belief and trust in God is that I would take the littleness of God and let him bless it and watch it just develop and grow into something supernaturally, fantastic because the way God is. I don't need, a large sum of money to know that I've got it made. All I need is I know I've got God. And with God, I know that I've got it made. And I know that where there seems to be no way, God will do what? Make that way and provide for that. But I've got to seek his kingdom. Everything connected to this thing that I'm in this life is connected to what? His kingdom and allowing his kingdom to be here on this earth. As we walk through it and knowing that we are taken care of through that. But first seek. In verse 33, now we're going to go up into this in Matthew. Just go back to 6:33 or go back or go up to 6:33. Matthew 6:33, where it says, "But seek what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So therefore, I say, do not worry about your life. Well, why is Jesus saying that? Well, probably tells me that people were worrying about their life. He only spoke and shared on things that he saw or that he knew would be taking place in people. And so even today, if Jesus were still in the flesh, I believe he would be telling his body here, you know, what? Do not worry about your life. Do not be occupied with what you're going to eat or how things are going to be taken care of. But what I want you to do is seek first his kingdom. And then when you seek first his kingdom, what happens? And his righteousness, what happens? All these things shall be done what? Taken from you? They will be added to you. So if we've got the basics, and it's very basics of just loving God, worshiping him and knowing who he is and what he is doing for us and what I need to be doing for him, that I need to be, you know, seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness, that I realize then that he's going to add things and take care of me. How about you? I believe so for you too. And then verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. We have got to get to the point to where we stop worrying. Can you believe that even our churches, we got worrying going on in our churches? You know, we can even have, you know, pastors, you know, we can just be worrying about stuff, worrying about the budget, worrying about getting something taken care of, worrying about, oh, a roof is leaking, worrying about, you know, whatever the case might be, filling those fuel tanks out there, whatever the case might be. We can get to a point of what? Worrying, and pretty soon just worry overtakes you. And when you begin to think about all that, you lose focus of who God is and what God is doing for you. You begin to see the worry, and then you don't see God's hand taking care of the situation because you're so focused on that problem. You're so focused on that situation that it's hard to see God on the other side of it. You will find that when you are passionately in love with God, he takes care of you as only he can, supernaturally, okay? We said that already. Sad to say, but for for the average Christian, the Lord is just another addition to an already busy life. And that's probably an area that we need to look at ourselves. You know, let's look at ourselves and how busy are we? What is taking the biggest chunk of our time? If we were to call for a gathering out here for a prayer meeting at a certain day, at a certain time, and try to make it convenient, you know, evening, whatever that is, whatever day is convenient, you wonder what the turnout would be. And the thing I've learned from not just here, but other churches and pastors talking to them, you know, unless you've got, you know, several thousand people, if you're a church of 75 or less or 50 or thereabouts, you know, the attendance could be very slim when you have a special call out for let's have a day of prayer. I have visited with a pastor, and they've begun several months back now taking a Saturday, and they pray on Saturday morning for 1 hour, if it's 8 to 9 or 9 to 10. Whoever shows up, they just go out for that hour, and they pray. They pray for the needs of the church. They pray for the community. I don't know, they may pray for, you know, the services the next day, or I think a lot of it's just they're just praying, God, just come. God, just fulfill, you know, what you want here, and let us be a part of that, and let us help in that area, and let us, you know, hear from you and do these things. Well, this pastor said, you know, after they've done this now for a couple of months, that they've had, you know, just visitors coming and visitors coming and people coming up and receiving Christ as their Savior. And they've probably had by now maybe 40, 45 individuals in the last four months, something like that, of coming up and receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior. They weren't doing that before they decided to call a Saturday prayer. And he said, there might be three, it might be five, might be six, might be eight. You know, there is no set structure of it. And it's not a pre-farmed out thing of what they want to pray. It just comes and just take time in prayer. May not be even praying out loud. It might just be, you know, you just come and you sit and you just pray. We've done those things here in the past. Years back, we've had, you know, Thursday prayers, and we've had this prayer, and we've had that prayer, and this night, or that day, or this week, and all these things. And they've all done well at times. But then, at times, things begin to wane, and then, you know, you wonder where it's going from here, and if it's really being effective. But, you know, as we realize that even when we call a prayer, if two people come, God's word says what? Where two or what? Three are gathered, I am there in their midst. So we look at that and we're thinking, well, God knew it. He hit it right on the head there that he already knew that, you know, to try to get sometimes a corporate thing going, it might only be two people, might be three people. So he's encouraged us by saying, where two or three are gathered, I am there with them. So that should give me encouragement. I hope it gives you encouragement. But we find that the focus and the thing in our churches, and we've dropped the ball big time here, is corporate prayer and prayer time. And, you know, I need to repent of that. I need to confess that before God, and I need to say, God, forgive me for where I'm at in this and where I've dropped the ball in this. I was sharing with a gentleman, fellow pastor, and my heart on some things, and he was sharing what he was dealing with. And I said, I hope I'm not falling victim or succumbing or whatever they call that to the world, to where if we don't think in our own natural ways of looking at things, that if there's not X number here or X number there, or it's this or it's that or it's wavy here and there, that we just start canceling all kinds of things in our corporate bodies and our churches. Because it's like, if I'm doing that, if I've done that, I'm giving in to the world. I said, I don't want to do that. I don't know if I am doing that. Isn't that interesting? You start talking to another pastor, and he's talking to you, and we're going back and forth. It's like, I don't want to do that either. Do you know? And we don't even want to do it, even in our own homes, you know, and gathering together. It's like, I don't want to allow the world to keep tearing things away from me, from the things that God has for me. But we find that more and more prevalent today of things happening in our churches, big or small, amen. But we can turn that around, can't we? You can come back to God, because he's a God of love and a God of mercy and a God of grace. So let's continue on here. It's sad to say, but for the average Christian, the Lord is just another addition to that busy life. And I've got a busy life. You've got a busy life. Their focus has been shifted from him being their God to them focusing on what making a living, you know, raising kids, maintaining a home, acquiring more comforts from the world, as well as other activities that come between them and God. We allow it. I'm guilty as charged of allowing things to come between me and God. Little things, you know, maybe they turn out to be big things eventually. I don't know. But I'm saying this, and I'm reading this for myself, that I've got to look at this and say, well, Tim, you've got to get a handle on this. You've got to look at this. I want my prayer life. And remember, I say I feel I talk to God quite a bit throughout the day. And I'm sure that you guys do too. But I want to have a check within me to say, but Lord, am I really fulfilling the fullness of what I need to be doing? And sometimes we'll figure if, you know, well, if I'm doing it more than Lou is, then I'm feeling pretty good about myself. It's Lou that's got the problem, not me. Well, no, it's me that's got the problem. Because God's speaking to me. God speaks to all of us individually. And so what we've got to do is we've got to come to God and say, Lord, remember that first thing we looked at in Sunday school, confession. Father, I've failed. Or Lord, I've dropped the ball in this particular area of my life or in this particular service to the kingdom of yours, whatever it might be. The one exciting thing is, and we'll share that before we end here. We'll get back to that. So we see more and more that God is not the center of their life, but he's now on the side. We put God on the side of our lives now because we've got so much going on the inside of what's taking place, so we've got to put him on the sideline. Now, we know what happens on the sideline. You know, when you put somebody on the sideline, they're not in the game. You know, it's like, well, you know, we're going to pull you out and put you on the sideline and bring another guy in, and he's going to do this, and you just sit over there, and you can rest, and you're out of the... You don't have to worry about the play calling. You don't have to worry about running the play. You don't have to worry about protecting this guy or that guy. Or you don't have to worry about tackling or catching the ball, or you don't have to worry about, you know, batting or catching, whatever, you know, whatever sport you want to be in. When we put someone on the sideline, it pretty well tells them that you're not in the main game right now for whatever reason. Well, a lot of times we've done that with God. We've put him on the sideline of our life because we've got so much taking place within our life. And a lot of it is, it's the things of the world just keeps pressing on us. How many here get pressed on by the world? We all do. The world is pushing things on you. The world is putting things and saying, here, take this on. Here, take this on. You can do this. You've got extra time. You can take care of that. You will have time. And then what happens is, little by little, we find God is no longer the center focus of our life. He's somewhere over here. More and more, we find that people becoming more stressed. You know, we talk about, you know, the old thing of somebody comes to a pastor and says, boy, I'm just having a difficult time, my family and this and my job and all this, and we just don't seem to have the, you know, be able to make the ends meet and this. And then one of the things that somebody would say is, you know, a pastor would say, well, you know, if I look at their checkbook and find where their heart is at, that'll pretty well tell me where their heart is with God. That's one of those things they talk about to help people forgiving. It's like, well, you know, if you really want God's blessings and provision and rebuke the devourer, you know, God does give some thoughts and directions in his word about how to give and how to sow and what it's all about into the kingdom. But also, if you talk to some people and they come and they say, I am just so stressed, I can't catch myself. It feels like I'm coming and I'm going. I don't know which end is up, and I'm going in circles, and I'm doing this, and I just don't seem to be getting ahead in this world. It seems like, you know, before I know it, Monday's here again. And I want all this done for this week, and before I know it, it's Friday already. Wow. I'm saying that's me. You know, we come out of a Sunday and it's Monday, Tuesday. It's like, oh, Lord, it's great. There's so the whole week ahead of us, and we can take time with you, and we can focus on this and get this prepared for, you know, maybe Wednesday's thing, or we can get ready for a Friday thing we got coming up, or, you know, we got like Riverview Heights Apartments where we're back on rotation there, and I had a service there this last week back. It was wonderful seeing these ladies again and the seniors of that community. And, you know, it's just like all these things, before you know it, it's Friday again, and then it's Saturday, and then it's Sunday, and guess what? Monday comes again, and I fall back into that thing like, whoo, shoot, I'm glad the weekend's over. But before you know it, it's there again. But it's because we sometimes get so much stuff on our plate that it's kind of like, you know, you push part of that stuff on the plate off to the side. You got to make room for something else, and I'm sad to say, a lot of times it's God pushed off to the side because, you know, he's not here in the flesh that I can actually see and deal with and talk with. And so I can feel like I can kind of put him off to the sideline and say, well, I'll get back to you later, God, you know. And thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy that he has. Because when I recognize that and I sense that, I can go back over to him and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm stressed out, and I've got more to do, and I don't seem to be getting it done, and I need to really have you in the middle of all this. And I need to take time with you, not to where I want to bring you in and say, here, Lord, take care of all this stuff, so once you get all this taken care of, I'll put you off to the side again, and then I'll start doing my own thing again. And, oh, and then, you know, 6 months down the road, when I get all stressed again, I'm going to come running over to you, and I know because you're a loving God, you'll be there for me. And I know pretty well that you'll come and help me as I cry out to you. But I need to learn that I need to keep you in the center of my focus every day, every week, every month, every situation. I need you in the center of that situation so that I'm not calling the shots and so that I'm not saying, out of here, God, I'll do it now, you know. And then when it happens and it falls apart, I'm going to pull you back in. My God has come in and done that many times for me. How about you? I've called upon him many times, and he's come right back to where I've asked him to come, into the center of my life, into the center of my heart, into the center of the situation. And God, because he's so loving and caring for Tim, he says, I'm back with you, Tim, and I'll help you through this. And I'm sure he's saying, but, you know, when it gets going good again, don't put me off to the side. Let me stay with you. Because it's a whole lot easier cleaning up your messes if I'm on the front end of it rather than the back end of it. You know, you've heard that at work sometimes, haven't you? You know? It's like, man, if this was such a mess, if I was on the front end of it, and we would have had it taken care of a lot sooner, it would have been a lot easier, but it's taking a little bit more time now because you've gotten yourself into it for so long. So it's going to take God a little bit more time to kind of work that supernatural thing to take place within that situation, but he will be faithful. He will be faithful as we cry out to him, as we share our love with him, as we let him know that I have love for you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let him know that. But instead, we are stressed. We become burned out. We're not enjoying the days anymore. And each day, Dan said, today is a present. It's a gift from God. And if you want to enjoy today, you've got to stay in contact with your Creator. You've got to stay focused with him. You've got to stay listening to him. You've got to stay loving him, talking to him, worshiping him, loving him. You don't know how you're going to make the ends meet. You don't know if you're coming or going. With God being the center of your life, though, everything begins to work out. It's not easy to explain at times, but when we allow God to be God of and in our lives, he takes care of us. When a problem comes our way, we usually feel like we have to fix the problem. I would encourage you today, let's start by first of all letting God fix the problem and then staying hooked up to God. Let God be there day in and day out, not for just when you need him like Johnny on the spot. And he's a God like that. He will come, boom, or he will send angels, boom, or he will do whatever it is to move heaven and earth to help you out in a situation. But just think of it, if we could just walk with him and be with him all the time, allow him to be with us. Amen. Fix the problem today. Let him be the center of your day. Your perspective changes when you start out first praising God. Why is this? When you're in the presence of him, things won't bother you. Do you believe that? If you're in the if God's presence, and I believe his presence is here, we all feel it maybe in a different way, in a different situation, but when God's presence is in a situation, when God's presence is with you, for the most part, nothing matters. You can hear bad news, but the presence of God is there, and he will strengthen you. We will look at that in just a little bit. So, a thought here. Andrew Womack says this, looking into the brightness of God's glory blinds you to other things. We need to look at God's glory in all things, because of that blindness that he will give. Because it's so bright. His glory is so bright that we won't see those other situations. Another thing is that when you magnify God, you discover how insignificant your problems really are. Magnify him. Magnify him in your day. Magnify him in your life. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise in the spirit and with understanding, oh, magnify the Lord. And it goes, I lift up the hands that hang down, all this type of stuff. Wonderful praise music and choruses. But those things, if they're in you, you can do that sometimes all of a sudden. Just comes up out of you. But how insignificant your problem is when you magnify God. When we begin to look at our prayer as a time to praise, when you look at your time of prayer to worship and to love God, that's when you will begin to notice more stability in your life. It's bound to happen when God's there. Look at Jesus. Look at when they were out on the boat and the roughing the waves and all this thing. And all that Jesus said to them was what? He calmed the winds down. Boom. Be still. But they were in a time of tossing to and fro, and the things were a little rough, but it didn't upset Jesus because he was sleeping. It didn't bother him because he knew who was in control. But we've got to know who is in control. We've got to praise him, worship him, and love God. You'll do that, and you'll see your life begin to change. And we wrap it up here. How do I want to do this here? I'll turn that off. I've got this here to hand out to you, and I'll read just a portion of it. But also we look at, and I think we need to receive your giving. But in Jeremiah 29:11, which you all know that's my favorite, one of my favorites, it says, 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. But now we've got to remember that at the end of that, and the next verse is the most important, and you will find, seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. He will hear me. He will answer me. But I've got to seek him with all my heart. If you want the fullness of God in your life, if you want the fullness of his blessings and all that he's got for you, I'm going to tell you this. If you want all of God, he wants all of you. And it doesn't work just having bits and pieces of God. Well, it does for a while, but then it falls apart. Not that he falls apart, but because it's just bits and pieces of him, it's not sustaining. You've got too much other stuff. You've got other things taking away and detracting from what God is and what God has for you. I'll give this out to you, and I would encourage you to, you know, look upon it this next week and be aware of what it's saying. And you can even begin to pray it now, you know, if you want. Here, I'll just hand it out as I walk around. I got this handy-dandy mic. I can go anywhere I want to. There's one for you. There's a couple for you. Ooh. I kind of got trigger happy. I got extra copies here. There's one for you. There's two. Here's a couple for you. There you go, Dan. I'll let you have one too. There you go. Now you'll see what you're reading there. It's just, this is what's been put together from the 2014 Prayer for the Nation. Of course, it comes off of the Second Chronicles where people identified with you, that if we humble ourselves, pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will hear our prayer, forgive our sins, and heal our land. I like the paragraph or whatever it is about one, two, the third one up from the bottom where it says, in response to our heartfelt repentance, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of Jesus Christ, in keeping with all of your righteous acts and according to your promise, turn away your anger and your wrath from the United States of America. Hear the prayers and the petitions offered to you on this National Day of Prayer. As we give our full attention, give ear, our God, and hear, open your eyes and see. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. For the glory of your name, hear our prayer, forgive our sin, and heal our land. So, just hand that out to you to have and focus on this week. And might be a good prayer throughout the week. Might be a good prayer throughout the next several months just to come across and just ask that. Because we are at, as a nation, you know, just every year that time of prayer comes for the nation, every year we say, it's getting worse. Well, next year they'll be saying, we'll say the same thing. It's getting worse. We got to have this thing turned around. But we need to pray for this nation. We need to take our eyes off of my problems and off of situations. And I need to take this before God and pray it before him. Our church, it's not as important as praying for this nation at times because of the nation and what it means and what it's about and what's taking place out there. So many things are coming upon just society and what's taking against this nation, and it's slowly eroding from within. And we got to stand there. We got to ask God for forgiveness. We got to stand in the hedge and make up that difference and lift up this nation and pray to God and believe and know that he does what? He hears our prayers. And we got to believe and know that we say, Lord, let your will be done, you know. And think of the voices and all that take place in this nation this week and on Thursday when it comes time for this, that God will hear this. When we had catastrophes take place, you know, off and on throughout our history, there's been a phenomenal upturn of Christianity or turning to God and crying out to God. And God, as loving and faithful as he is, like he is with me when I go through a problem and I've put him on the side for a while, when I cry out to him and begin to repent and ask for forgiveness and ask him into this situation, he comes back in and he helps me. Well, he will do that same thing for our nation, I believe, if he just finds some people that will pray and that we pray in belief, pray in faith. You know, we're not praying because, whoo, it's, you know, throw out the lifeboat. It's sinking fast, you know. We pray in belief and trust and faith that God is hearing our prayers and that God will rise again as we allow him to and as we do our part as praying for the nation and doing what we're to do as a community and individuals. Amen. We control it, you know, but we've got someone that can help us, and that being God. And God working in supernaturally of situations. So want to wait on you for your giving. If we can just pray for that, and if they want to receive your giving now, then we'll close in prayer, and then we'll